F2. Number 10A.
Then he goes on to soul and shows that everything that love will bless its own idea always, and that there is nothing really which can stand against the working out of the blessings of God. That Hosea said, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. He said, you see, he could see that love has a soul, has a unity of interest. He could see that all over, wherever the realm of reality is, there is that remnant everywhere which God can use. You know how the especially the prophets always speak about the remnant. They say nothing is as bad as that there is not the remnant there. Nothing is as bad in history, in the Jewish history, in every country, in every man, as that there would be not a remnant. And they always could see that out of that remnant would grow the salvation. So he points that out and says, well, there is everywhere a remnant. There is everywhere a link, a little spark, which can, and what you say, can enlighten, which can be lighted, and which can grow. He couldn't anymore accept that there is a country which is not beloved, which is not my people. That went out of it. And then, in principle, he again shows that love as principle wants to save all and everyone. Everyone that believes attains righteousness. I would say today, everyone, no matter in which classification he is, what love signs in one way or the other has that remnant in him. No matter if he loves medical science, or if he loves biological science, or if he loves physical science, or anything. Science seems, scientific consciousness, scientific research, scientific thinking, seems to be that remnant. That remnant cannot go on being on the wrong track forever, in no field whatever, because the Christ will push and push and push every scientific thinking and scientific research to that border where it has to go over to metaphysics. Then in life, he shows that love is graceful, is always full of grace, and that therefore, you know, grace is a wonderful sense. It's that sense which says, I give everything without asking anything. I give everything without that anybody has to work for it. No matter how good, how bad somebody has been. So the Christ goes out to the whole world, to every classification, and finds there the remnant. And the remnant can be saved. And it's saved by grace, and not by works. Saved by grace. And then, in truth, he shows that that is not something supernatural, but something very natural. Namely, because God, truth, is holy, all the ideas of God are holy. All the ideas of God are. So that the salvation of every remnant that goes on because that remnant is just an idea of truth, of wholeness, of manhood. And then lastly, in love, he gives us that advice and says, you know, this is such a big plan that you can hardly fathom it. You can hardly fathom it. You can hardly think, is that possible? Humanly, we say that's impossible. And so he has to give that sense, oh no, it is possible. It's that sense that his ways are unsearchable. How is that? All the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. You know, that's where we go wrong. We try, in trying to save the world situation, we try our best, human mind, to save it. Doesn't go. Thank God it doesn't go. Don't be depressed that the best human minds can't find the way out. Be grateful for it. Paul said, the ways of God cannot be searched out by the human brain. Human wisdom is foolishness before God. God's ways are unsearchable. His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has seen been his counselor? We like to be his counselor. We would like to tell God how to work out this world situation. But that has been in Paul's time just today. There's nothing specifically interesting about our time. Always that was so. That, thank God, the human mind never found out the way. That's the only salvation that comes, because then God has the chance to work out his way, and that is always much better. Always much better. Or who has first given to him, and he shall be recompensed unto him again? And then, for of him and through him, not through the human mind. Let's stay in the eternal circle of from God, through God, like God, for God. That's the four sides of the holy city. Try never to get out of that rhythm in solving any problem. For from God and through God and to God, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Why don't we give God a chance to rule the world, to rule mankind? Let's give him a chance. And just as it needs only a few people to govern the world to disaster, it only needs a few people who know God to govern the world to salvation. Paul was one of them, a wonderful example. He freed Christianity from the Jews. He spread Christianity to the new world, over to Greece, to Macedonia, to Rome, and further. He liberated Christianity from any narrowing concept and became a world liberator, a liberating man, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, neither Greek nor Jew. So let's do the same. Let's see what he has seen. He has seen a principle. Let's see that we understand this principle, that our consciousness gets tuned with this principle, and then as it gets tuned with this principle, that's our faith, we are partakers of world salvation. That's it. Then, yes, you see now how he evolved that whole subject through the seven sub-talks. So we have taken up to this point, we have taken principle, life, truth, and love, and now he comes to three further subject, soul, spirit, mind, to which he gives less space, less importance, because his main object was to state the big new gospel, the big new theory, the big new doctrine of man. But he saw that if he would leave it just as a presentation of the doctrine, through principle, life, truth, and love, that doctrine might remain somewhere up in heaven and not be translated right down to our consciousness. And so he takes in that translation through soul, spirit, and mind. And therefore, when reading Romans, you will certainly have noticed how, from this point on, the whole tone is different, because it's a translated tone. He no more speaks about the principle of this universal salvation, but now he takes it down to each one of us and says, what are you doing about it? So he comes and shows through soul that if we have faith in God as a soul, that makes us partake of the nature of soul, namely that then we begin to represent in a sinless way this wonderful doctrine. So he says, all right, now embody what you have originally seen in principle, life, truth, and love. Embody it now. Soul is that which identifies itself in being. So embody that. And you have, right at the beginning of that sentence, therefore, my brethren, I implore you to offer your very selves to him, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for his acceptance. The worship offered by mind and heart. Isn't it wonderful? That's from the new translation, from the New English Bible translation. You see, he now, after he has shown the doctrine, so to say, he says, now, try to do this. Try to be. Change now your old concept of man and man's salvation. Change that, transform that, and put on now the new concept. Make it your own. Put away now the false sense of things. To offer yourselves to him, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for his acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. Adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world. Isn't that wonderful? He said, adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world. We through listening always to this damned radio and television and reading papers, we are just indoctrinated with this world. That's all what these methods of indoctrination do. They just put us right down to the bottom. Instead of saying, I'm not of this world, Jesus said, I'm not of this world. The prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me. Let's lift ourselves up, as Paul said it here. That's what we must do, or we leave the whole sense of Christianity as a doctrine, but not as a living, embodied faith. Adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world. Just because some clever people have a clever idea how things are going to be solved themselves, you know history. They are in power for a few years, and after a few years, somebody else are there. They come and go, but the Lord reigns forever. The Lord reigns forever. But all the other things, they come and go. If you have a business, it stays much longer than that which tries to run the world. And those people and system and ideas are not ideas, but concepts and theories and recipes and so on. They come and go. They are well meant, they may be well meant, they may be cleverly meant, they may be, I don't know how meant. They are not the mind of God. Don't adapt yourself to the pattern of this world. That's what Paul teaches. That's what Jesus teaches. And then, but let your mind be remade, and your whole nature thus transformed. He could see it all starts with ourselves. If we let ourselves be transformed. It doesn't start with politicians, it doesn't start with party politics, it doesn't start with this and that. It starts with the transformation of us, each one of us. And there we will start. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Wonderful. Then, let's take the tone of spirit. See, then, if we would have to take these epistles through in their whole beauty, we would have to sit together for a few years. It took us in Zurich 3 years only to go through Paul's epistles, not even the general epistles. So, but that doesn't matter. All we want to do is to cut out first the big lines, the big structure. But you see, as I was speaking to you, you may have liked it, but then the prince of this world comes and says, will I have the strength to do it? Will I have the ability to do it? Will I be strong enough to do it? And that's why Paul right afterwards takes the subject of spirit in the form of strength, the strength of faith. Can I have that strength of faith to do it? Where do I get that strength of faith to do it? And if we can see it, we can just see, well, if I have faith in God as spirit, therefore, if I'm one with God as spirit and spirit is strength, that will strengthen in me my faith. That will strengthen me that I can take that stand which is not according to the pattern of this world. We don't have to try to find our strength of faith in us. We must find it in God. See, that's the whole theme always. Find your salvation, whatever the power of God which can bring salvation. Don't try to find it within yourself, within your abilities, within your cleverness, within your healthy strength, within your education, within your experience. Find it in God. Go always to God. And that translates to you the whole of God. So if we go to spirit, what does it mean to spirit? If we go with our whole love and attention and to spirit, that means if that which Paul has told us up to now as a theory, if we go and worship that and adore that spirit, you see, that's going to spirit, that's having faith in spirit, adore that, worship that, love that, put that over everything in our heart, that strengthens in us the faith to stand. Then we get the strength from God and not from anywhere else, from any other source. And so he could see that though we stand in a world which looks pretty grim, and it did look pretty grim at his time, much grimmer than our world, he had to face the lions. We don't. It looks much grimmer to him to stand for the right idea, but he got his strength because he knew that unity with God would be bigger, stronger, mightier than any other strength, than any other power. And so we shall be hold enough, for God is able to make him stand. We should never try to take a stand for God out of our own abilities. We can't stand. We are too weak. We always have to take a stand for God, with God, out of God, because from God, and through God, and like God, and for God, all are things. If we try to push the idea of science humanly, doesn't do a thing, will harm it. But if we love the idea of science out of our unity with God, we'll do something big, because it's God that is big, and God makes us partake of his wholeness, of his whole bigness. Just have to see that we tap the source of God, of God's wholeness. Then in the last subject of mind, he shows that through faith in God, man partakes of the divine mind, of all what divine mind is, and mind is active, mind is doing things, mind is powerful, and so we become a doer of the faith. You see, doing now the faith, be a doer of the faith, stands here right at the end of the whole epistle. It isn't so that doing is the first thing we should do. We never do things rightly if we begin with doing. We must have first the divine principle and understand that divine principle as life, truth, and love, and see first that wonderful principle of life, truth, and love, and then if we unite with that through soul, identify ourselves through that, then we get the strength of spirit, and then mind pushes us to do it what mind wants us to do. So only at the end here, you see, he begins to show that that mind makes us be partakers of the power of mind, namely doers of mind. And he shows how he came in word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. We come with the full measure of the blessing of Christ, you know. Now he did something. And he greets and blesses all those in Rome who were doers. Besides all the doers, the helpers in Christ, those who labor in the Lord, the doers of the faith. See how we are always used by God to do that which God wants us to do if first we have loved God, the divine principle, life, truth, and love, and have seen that as our divine principle. Then, if we unite with that divine principle begins to work on us, begins to use us, and makes us do things. And only then do we really work in God. Many would like to do more for Christian Science, would like to do more for God, would like to do more for this idea. And I think that's a wonderful motion in each one of us, a holy motion. But what to do? Nobody should tell. Could tell. God should tell. God should move everyone to do what he is called to do by God. But through Romans we get the method how we are transparent and become a tool in God's hand. And you can be quite sure that if your heart is holy with Romans, and if your heart is holy with the subject of principle, and holy with the subject of life, with truth and love, and you begin to see that whole plan of world salvation, all that matters, and if through soul you really are in earnest, that you say, I want to have that to be in my mind, I want to be that is now taking the place of the old world, the place of the old pattern of the world, you will feel that in spirit you get strengthened in your determination, that something becomes strong in you, something that becomes reliable on God in you. You just feel you can rely on God as on a rock, and then that pushes each one of us to be doers. Then it is God impelled, and not men wished, however good that wish may be. It is God. Only when it is God impels, it is good. So, you see how really things happen with us, how God uses us. The measure we first go to God and are one with the God, with the theory, the doctrine of God. Without true principle, there is no true practice. We can't live it. So often we say, well, he lives Christian Science. Actually, he doesn't know it, but he lives it. It's not possible. Either he knows it, or he can't live it. I can't demonstrate chemistry if I don't know the principle of chemistry. What I do is to make a mess. It's all that I can do. I may be pleased with that mess. It may take me a lot of joy to do it, but it isn't chemistry. So let's just hold that in mind, you see, that really everything is going on first in us, in our consciousness. That we build a new consciousness. We build a new temple. That's what the Bible always tries to show. Build the temple. Don't build field houses, as Haggai said, but build the temple of the Lord. First build the temple of the Lord. First build in consciousness that whole structure of what the man of God is. Then that consciousness will take care of us. It will take care of the world, it will take care of us, and it will take care of the whole idea.